Hello and welcome to SNG Podcast. I'm Nitin Gokhale. In this week's podcast, I'm in conversation with India's Air Chief Marshal V.R. Chaudhary. We were talking to each other on various issues that the Air Force is grappling with. And one of the key highlights was the number of lessons that Air Force has learnt after deployment in the high altitudes of Ladakh, and how men, women and machine have been pushed to their limits, and the adaptability and flexibility that has been inbuilt in the system. Go listen.
What are the lessons from there in this long standoff?
A lot of takeaways from the last 4 years. It has really taught us how to, endure not only long detachments in those high altitudes and the treacherous terrain there, but also it has stretched our systems that are deployed there to their fullest.
Right.
First of all, I need to acknowledge with gratitude the support given by the Indian Army and the ITBB in helping us deploy there, the Adam support. Because you are aware that the Indian Air Force, in the past we had a maximum of, two-digit figure deployment in the entire northern areas.
Right.
Okay, today that number has gone up more than 10 times. And a whole lot of surface-to-air weapons, small radars, and mobile observation flights and so on are all deployed, strung across the entire the northern borders.
Right.
So the man and machine are being stretched to the limits. Here the answer, what we found, lied in good training of both mind and body, and innovativeness.
Okay.
You'll be surprised to see the kind of innovations people have brought out in the field conditions there.
Right.
Which have really enhanced our combat capabilities manifold.
I must say that, you must have seen some of our videos that our team had done that, at Air Force Station Leh and other places. So they were also telling me, what are the things, you said prolonged deployment. So the machines are normally not deployed at those heights?
Yeah, they are. A lot of equipment is not manufactured to operate above 10,000 feet, where the rarity of oxygen, the temperatures cannot be controlled in terms of the machinery and things like that. So a lot of innovative measures, like I said, we have adapted from completely different or unique systems, brought in those kind of technologies to be able to ensure that these machines operate here without failing us.
Okay. And also there was, like you said, very few Air Force personnel would have had such a prolonged deployment. Now in that, what did you have to do as far as HR practices are concerned?
So the first challenge was of course to get a whole lot of trained technical manpower who are also medically fit and able to sustain that. So like I said, the focus started on training large numbers.
Okay.
So that replacements could be done when necessary. The second aspect was an issuing of certain policies for, making it more, somebody who faces that challenge of remaining there deployed for some time comes back with some other kind of an HR benefit in terms of a better posting.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So exactly. Some incentive. Motivation.
Yeah.
The other important aspect that intangible is leadership.
Right.
And I must acknowledge that we have witnessed exceptional leadership from junior officers, and I'm very proud of them, the way they have led the men in those terrain and those conditions there.
Right.
So that is one intangible factor that has changed the way that we now operate and deploy there.
Great. Also, in terms of doctrines and in terms of, like you said, you had to move a lot of assets. How are you looking at the Northern Front challenge now? Because this wasn't so manifest earlier.
I would say what we look at the threat, and our like our doctrine says now, capability based on the overall threat.
Right.
So the threat will keep changing depending on various circumstances. The threat also varies with season, with the way people are deployed and so on.
Sure.
So our capabilities will now be focused on countering every foreseeable threat. Here once again the requirement to be flexible, adaptive, to be able to rapidly redeploy where threats build up. these are some of our fortes, and I think we are doing well in this field.
Exactly. You also acknowledged right at the beginning that, you know, the coordination with the army and the help that the army and the ITBP gave you at that place. That apart, your coordination and jointness with the army would have also increased and improved?
Absolutely. So, not only in administrative support, but sharing of resources. For example, the ISR resources, right, or, you know, power supply units. So, then there are a whole lot of things which we are now able to, you know, share with the resources with the other services.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to synergize our capabilities there has reached new heights now.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sure with the new procedures and, you know, the talks that are going on, this will only reach greater heights.
So, is this a good prelude or a good practice for eventual jointness and theatrization that one, the Indian military, is looking at?
Yes, when it comes to setting up of theater commands or theaterization, as we call it, the building blocks of this structure necessarily have to be, you know, joint procedures,
right,
communication protocols,
correct,
interoperabilities, yes, you know, maintenance practices, logistics. So this is the firm foundation is being laid down. And on top of this firm foundation, now the edifice will come up as to how the final structure will shape.
So, I mean, give me an example. For instance, can there be joint maintenance of some of the equipment? Can there be logistics and storage? Or is there a huge difference in the way you operate as far as these issues are concerned? Or you can bring them together somewhere?
You know, right now, the first step we have done is common maintenance practices and policies for common platforms. For example, the ALH is operated by the Army, Navy, Air Force and the Coast Guard.
Right.
The Dornier is operated by the Air Force, Navy and Coast Guard.
Mm.
So, soon we'll have the Apaches with the Army and with the Air Force.
Right.
So, what we made a beginning is that common platforms, common systems will have common maintenance,
right,
and complete interoperability.
Okay.
So, an example is today, a Coast Guard Dornier, let us say in Port Blair, can be serviced by a naval person in an Air Force base.
Okay.
Or, that's, you know, the example. Naval Dornier can be serviced by an Air Force personnel.
Mm.
So, that is the level of interoperability that we have reached, and it is only scaling up now.
Okay. So, that's one. The logistics bases or logistic nodes are also being talked about.
Yes.
Is that possible fully, or there are also again baby steps being taken?
No, I think the steps we have taken are fairly, you know, large steps, not baby steps. Joint logistics nodes have been set up. More nodes are coming up across the length and breadth of the country.
Right.
We started with small things. For example, you know, small arms, ammunition,
right,
vehicles, you know, or moving of supplies from one part of the other. So, as a part of the Gati Shakti program. So, we have synchronized our op logistics efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So, now there's a lot of not only commonality but in the procedures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're heavily dependent on each other's, you know, available resources.
So, storage can be common, something of that can happen. Of course, the eventual joint theatres or theatre commands that you're talking about may have to begin from joint training and joint planning.
Yes.
When are we going to root? So, basically, I'm asking is what is the roadmap for the theatrization?
Like I said, the building blocks are in more or less, we know what they are.
Right.
Okay, like you mentioned, joint training, maintenance, logistics, the whole lot.
Yeah.
So, the building blocks are in place.
Okay.
Work is on for bringing in more jointness in terms of cross-posting of personnel, which has been done in large numbers today. Having common, you know, enterprise for management of resources.
Okay.
Like, you know, we have our own logistics management system. The Navy has its own, the Army has its own. So, now work is in progress to coalesce all the these things together to have one common platform.
Right.
So that if today I want to know where is, for example, a battery for some system available.
Right.
It will tell me it's available at a Navy base there or with an Army base there.
Okay.
So, like I said, these are the building blocks.
Right.
And
right.
Training, of course, forms a very important part of it.
Sure.
So, the building blocks are in place. We meet very frequently. We put forward our thoughts and ideas across the table. and each one is considered with due diligence.
Right.
And the minute it is acceptable to all of us, then it is kept aside as something which is done.
Okay.
And then we take on the next issue.
So it's that's a work in progress.
It's work in progress. Okay. Yes.
Overall, the Air Force spectrum or the Air Force's doctrines the world over, given the uncertainties that are happening, we've had two conflicts raging. What are the changes that you see, and what are the lessons that you are seeing from, say, Russia-Ukraine conflict, or even, you know, going forward, what would be a challenge for Indian Air Force? How are you looking at that?
A lot of lessons from both these conflicts. First of all, the resilience of air power, requirement to preserve assets in case the conflict is a long-drawn one. Primarily stemming from this, now how do you utilize whatever we have in the most effective manner? So the basic principles of being able to concentrate force at the time of our choosing and place of our choosing. So this is something that we continuously keep, you know, learning from the conflicts that are going on.
Right.
The importance of ISR and reducing the shooter sensor to shooter cycle is very important lesson that we carry away from these conflicts. The importance, like I mentioned, we should be able to synchronize the efforts of all the reconnaissance means, whether it is whoever they belong to, not necessarily the Air Force means, everything, including space-based assets,
right,
to be able to give us a continuous update on what is happening across the borders.
Right.
Only then we'll be able to plan and execute missions with the required intensity.
Right. Let me come to your HR issues or HR policies, let me say, because you're inducting more and more women pilots and women personnel in the Air Force. How are you dovetailing that with your existing policies, and what are the challenges there, if at all?
Actually, the Agnipath scheme has given us new opportunities to revamp our entire training process.
Okay.
So from grassroots level, not only for the airmen training, even the officers training has been completely redone now.
Right.
We have eliminated, you know, infructuous training requirements. We've cut down the training periods. And now what we follow is more emphasis on multi-skilling. In today's day and age, we really cannot afford to have an air warrior who is skilled only in one thing.
Okay.
He has the spare mental capability to be able to be trained on multiple systems.
Okay.
He may be a master of one,
yes,
but he should know a lot of about other systems.
Which is a big change from the earlier times.
Yes. Earlier we were, you know, focusing simply on one trade or on one you know, kind of specialty. By having multi-skilled people, I think it is going to ease out the entire working culture of the Air Force.
What about women? What has been the experience? It's been, what, 4-5 years now?
For fighter pilots, yes, 4-5 years. Otherwise, we had women.
Yeah, of course, fighter pilots, yeah.
In all other branches, right, in the past. And we are a skill-based service.
Right.
The machine does not distinguish between a man or a woman who's operating it. Exactly. And I think they're all doing exceptionally well.
Right, right. So one final thought on this. Indian Air Force has been at the forefront of each of India's conflicts, wars, call it whatever. We are coming up to 25th year of the Kargil conflict, in which again Air Force played a major part in one of these operations. How do you foresee the Indian Air Force in the nation's capability to withstand threats and you know, any of these conflicts that may arise?
Let me start by telling you that the Indian Air Force will always remain a decisive arm of national security. Given the resources that we have today, given our capabilities and what we are building up in the future, I think we will remain a very potent force in this entire neighborhood here. And adaptation of new technologies, quick absorption of new technologies, right, is only going to accelerate the change. So my assurance is that we will continuously remain abreast of new technologies. We will absorb and assimilate changes to doctrines based on the changing character of war.
Right.
And we will be ever ready to protect the nation.
So great to know that. Air Chief Marshal Chaudhary, thanks for your time and your insights.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you.